Morning and welcome to Sunrise Baptist Church, and it is wonderful to be together this morning. I'm glad that you've joined us from wherever you are, and may you just be blessed by God's word this morning. Let's begin by a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for again a morning, a day like this, Lord, with the sun shining, to be blessed by your word, to be joined together again to grow, be connected. And Father, be blessed. May you just enrich us by the power of your word and the truth that it brings us today. May our hearts and our ears just be welcoming to your Holy Spirit. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And our focus this morning is on verse 18. But I'm going to be reading from verses 16 down to 24, just so you can capture the picture of this prayer, of this acknowledgement for us all. So starting off in verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Those are, again, just wonderful words and the truth of God's word that we've spoken this morning. We've been walking through and have begun a series of being grateful. And this morning's focus is on having an attitude of gratitude. That kind of rhymes, right? An attitude of gratitude. And as we approach that whole theme this morning, why does ungratefulness seem to stir us up, rile us up? Even before my daughter could speak, I was teaching her to say thank you in sign language. You might be asking me why. Being ungrateful hits us at the core of our being. My grandma used to tell me that I'm in control of the choices I make. And those choices reveal who I really am. Our very attitude and response to our life truly reveals a lot about who we are and what we believe. The attitude of gratitude. It is not hard to see that we live in a broken and wrecked world. God told us that this would truly happen. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, he said that as the end draws near because lawlessness is increased, the love of many will grow cold. It's very obviously that we live in a world that struggles, that's broken and hurt and chaotic and messy. Wrecked marriages, wrecked homes, wrecked economy, wrecked political system. And the promise is that as the return of Jesus gets closer, right, it gets worse. But Jesus promised to give us a life to the full. If you never heard my sermon last week, but if you recall, I talked about a glass being half full or half empty. But then I referenced about a glass being totally full all the time. This life to the full is not defined by things we have or don't have. The full life is defined by how we respond to trials, temptations, tragedies, and things. One of the main things that can sabotage and strangle the full life is an attitude of ungratefulness. Dr. Adrian Rogers said God's will is what we would want for ourselves if we were smart enough to want it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, clearly tells us a right attitude that we should have in this messy world, in this wrecked world. Right? Give thanks in everything. Right? In this version, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, we begin, as we look at having that attitude, that response of gratitude, is seeing that God is good. Gratitude is seeing that God is good. Gratitude comes from a very clear vision of who God is. The devil has always tried to destroy God's character, to put a blemish or truly wreck the purest picture of who God is. In Psalm 100, let's flip there. This is a beautiful psalm to take note of. And I encourage you to walk through it yourselves. But it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 100 makes it clear that an attitude of gratitude comes from seeing that God is good. I went and did an experiment this past week. And I went and I handed out 20 toonies to people of all different categories, from young to old, from old to young, from wealthy and to the homeless, male, female, different races. It was the responses I got that didn't surprise me. 13 people did not say thank you when I gave them the toonie. There was one response that stood out of all of them, and that was the homeless person. When I gave him that toonie, right, he said, thank you, you are a good man. And he kept repeating that over and over while holding my arm. Thank you, you are a good man. Thank you, you are a good man. Seeing that God is good. See, I want us to remember that Jesus wants to give you a life that is full. A life that is joyful, that is peaceful, that's powerful, that has purpose, that's useful, and that's faithful. But what I experienced with this experiment was that there's a lie that the world wants us to take hold of, right? That to have a life that is full is to have a whole lot more. No one cared about receiving a toonie. Right? 13. It was $2 to them. It was nothing. It was a drop in a bucket. They could truly care less. Satan wants us to buy into that life, to have a life that is ungrateful. Right? That we are our soul focus on what we have or don't have. And that's all that matters. The devil knows that when you ignore God's will of thankfulness, it will lead to a heart of selfish and lack of gratitude. In Romans 1, verses 18 to 21, turn with me there, please. In 18 to 21 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then over to continuing verses 22 to 23 says, although they claimed to have been wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful natures of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their own bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And it continues to focus on that whole theme. God turned them over to their own ungrateful desires. God is good. He's good enough and he loves us enough to leave us, leave you. He presents the truth. He presents who he is and leaves us with us making our own choice, your own decision on how you respond. There's a study on the internet called 31 Benefits of Gratitude. This is, again, just a secular way of looking at how to be a person of gratitude. Two of the things in that study says that this person, you discover that gratitude will make you happier and healthier. Those two key things. As you discover gratitude in your life, the whole focus is that you be happier and healthier. Most definitely, these things are important, yes. However, God wants to give you more than just happiness and health. God wants to give you a full life. It says in the study that a five-minute a day gratitude journal can increase your long-term well-being by more than 10% in your life. It says that that's the same impact as doubling your income. That sounds good. But it just leaves you with that sense of feeling. That's it. Let's look at Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, test and see that the Lord is good. Okay. And then another verse. Psalm 86, 5. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, rich in faithful love to all who call on you. Then Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to everyone. His compassion rests on all he has made. And then Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, the person who seeks him. And then I love this verse from Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of distress. He cares for those who take refuge in him. Doesn't that kind of sound a little bit on how we have been journeying through the last 2 months? There are many things designed by the devil to distract us from the goodness of God. We must cultivate a mindset of looking for God's goodness, right, in the busyness, in the distractions and mess and struggles in our lives. Remember that all things are not good. However, God makes all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 clearly has us focus in on that. Don't be distracted by the momentary things. We are preparing to spend forever with God, right? Setting our eyes on the goodness of God in Jesus. This will give you a reason to be grateful. When we see how gracious God is, right? It's a gratitude. It's our response, our natural response when we see how gracious and how wonderful he is. I want you to take for one quick moment. Actually, I will draw to that a little bit farther. But as I share that, there's that whole maybe sense of skepticism out there. Of how can one have an attitude and a response of gratitude, seeing that God is good, in the midst of struggling and bad circumstances? This verse says that it's God's will for everyone who believes in Jesus to be thankful. There's some things that happen in our lives that we truly are thankful for. We're thankful for birthdays, weddings, love, and our family. But there are some things that happen in our lives that are really difficult. We might have an illness, a death of a loved one, a divorce, or some other sad event. How can God expect us to be grateful for those things? Let's really look closely at our verse, because sometimes when we read it, we actually move too quick and miss some important words. Some might think that this verse says, be thankful for all things. Okay? But it's actually saying, be thankful in all things. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. This brings us to the next piece in this verse, that an attitude of gratitude is in our circumstances. The original Hebrew word for in that's used here means in the middle of or during. So in other words, no matter what is happening in your life, you can be thankful. We have the misunderstanding that we should rejoice only when something good happens to us. We have the misunderstanding that we should pray when we need God to do something for us or for someone else. We have the misunderstanding that we should only give thanks for the blessing and not the hardships. But I want you to know that this morning that we should rejoice and give thanks in every circumstance, because through everything, God is still God. We just spoke of God being good. Right? God is the same, right? Always and forever. When I pay my bills, right, and need the money for that, right, God is still God. And so I give thanks. When all my bills are paid, God is still God, and I give thanks. When some friends decide to not be my friend anymore, God is still God, and I give thanks. When I get new friends that stick closer to me than a brother, God is still God, and I give thanks. I can rejoice in all my circumstances because God is still God. In the good times, in the bad times, in the happy times, and in the sad times, in the sick times and in the well times. In my best circumstances, I can rejoice and give thanks. In my worst circumstances, I can rejoice and give thanks. I can do this because God is God. And my security rests in Him. It says here, in the verse that this all takes place. Okay? It says, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." As Christ Jesus is in us, it gives us that ability, right, to rest. It also, we allow ourselves to rest in Him because He does not change. With this understanding, I can choose. I can respond to give. It's an action to give thanks, or I can choose to not give. Again, an action to not give thanks. And just be in the midst of what I'm dealing with. I have those two choices. My attitude and willingness to give thanks is a testimony, is a witness of what I believe about God and His relationship within me. This understanding came through trials and a lot of errors as I have journeyed in my life. I tell you right now, I am not perfect in my thanksgiving. But I've learned that it's not about God and what He's doing. It's about me and the choices that I'm making. And this is a true application piece when it comes to our lives. What is our response? What is our attitude that leads us to a response of either giving thanks or not giving thanks? The Bible gives us a long list of things that we should be thankful for. And these are some things that never change, no matter what is happening in our lives. A little tickle. We are to be thankful that God is good. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. We're to be thankful that His love lasts forever. Psalm 106, verse 1. For God's amazing grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. For the wonderful things God does. Psalm 107, verse 8. Because God answers prayers. Psalm 118, verse 21. His perfect laws. Psalm 119, verse 62. For all believers, giving thanks for all believers. Philippians 1, verse 3. And most of all, we should be thankful because God gave His Son, Jesus, to save us from punishment of our sins and give us new life. God has saved all who believe in Jesus. He has taken our sin and given us His righteousness. A.J. Jacobs is an acclaimed author, and he's best known for completely immersing himself in his research. I came to know of him at Bible college because we had a few people at Bible college that loved to memorize like encyclopedias and a lot of other definitions from the dictionary. And it was astounding on the skill of some of these people at college. But he had read an entire set of Encyclopedia Britannica for his book, The Know-It-All, and spent another year living like an Old Testament Hebrew. Among his unique guests, he once embraced the origin the original version of Thanksgiving. He came to realize it was quite a celebration with games, riddles, races, contests, and foods like eel and lobster. Most profound to Jacob was the realization that this time of gratitude in the year 1621 from the first settlers, right, followed a year in which 48 of the original 102 pilgrims died. Scurvy and exposure claimed half of them. Yet they rejoiced with thanksgiving. His conclusion was, if they could appreciate life amid such chaos, pain, and uncertainty, that he could give thanks for all the good things in his relatively cushy life. When our hearts and our response is giving thanks in all our circumstances, it leads us to giving credit where credit is due. An attitude of gratitude gives credit. When I was talking about giving credit, I'm not talking about awards. I'm talking about responses of heartfelt appreciation and thankfulness. I have been coaching for a lot of years. And at the end of every season, what is it that the team does? They have an end of the season party or dinner. And during that time, they give a thank you card of appreciation. And some of the parents or even players share words of appreciation. The Bible says that being thankful brings honor to God. God actually commands us to be thankful. Back in the Old Testament, there were certain sacrifices that people were instructed to make as thank offerings to the Lord. When we thank God, we acknowledge that he deserves the credit. Right? He has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. When others see you thank God, you point them to him. So giving thanks also helps us because it makes us focus our attention back to the one we are thanking. Giving thanks is putting a spiritual eyeglasses on that can help us focus on God. It will remind you that God is in control of everything. He never changes, and he only allows what is good for you. You can have faith in God's goodness and not fear the things around you. No matter what is happening in your life, give thanks to God in the midst of your circumstances. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, everything for the glory of God. And in Psalm 115, verse 1, it says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. The repetition, not to us, not to us, shows the propensity that we all have for taking some of God's glory for ourselves. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, the Lord says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to the graven images. In Isaiah 48, 11, he repeats, For my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned? And my glory I will not give to another. But in spite of these clear declarations, we're all prone to take at least some of God's glory for ourselves. The psalmist prays that God will give glory to his name. Because of your loving kindness, because of your truth, it says. The loving kindness is another word for God's grace. Our salvation, rooted in God's choosing us before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, right, is to praise, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And in verse 6, God's truth or faithfulness means that what he says and does are always consistent with himself. If he promises something, he will do it. And that is expressed right here in verse 24, right? The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Everything that God does for us magnifies his loving kindness and his truth. So come with a humbled and grateful heart and give credit where credit is due. An attitude of gratitude gives credit, giving honor to him, to whom honor should be given. So putting this all together, helping us to see how does this truly apply to our lives? Well, it applies to our lives in the whole aspect of cultivating an attitude of gratitude, right? Our attitude coming into being an action, being a response, a choice that we make. The cultivating comes from, it comes from the very choice we make. And this is done through our response, the very action we take. How do we actively make our attitude one of giving thanks when it comes to 1 Thessalonians 5:18? First off, seeing that God is good, making it a part of our prayer life and our conversation, talking about who he is, what he's done in our lives, letting our requests be made known to God with thanksgiving, and then being grateful in all circumstances, having God a part of each and every day, having him a part of the times of good times, in times of bad times. And then the gratitude, right, that is given, right, that shows credit, that gives honor to whom it is deserved. God mixes with his divine compound and the bittersweet, the bitter and the sweet. Right? You always have these granola bars now that are salty and sweet, or you have a meal that has a bit of a spicy and sweet, whatever it may be, right? God mixes with his divine compound, right, of the good and the bad, right, in the just and the right, in all the right portions, so that they will work together for good. We know that days will not always be sunny and warm. God knows the right amount of sunshine and rain. He measures out these things with great precision because of his love for us. And with that, we thank him with an attitude of gratitude and give him true credit. It's a work in progress. Like I said, I've been journeying through this my whole life of continuing to be able to have that attitude of gratitude, to be thankful. I encourage you to continue to walk and strive to cultivate that in your life. Blessings on you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you again have shared us with some wonderful and some powerful words. things, Lord, that in our lives seem to be unreachable, untainable, and too difficult to even fathom. But it is possible because it is your will for us to be joyful always and praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. And this is doable because of Jesus Christ who lives and dwells within us. Give us the strength. Sharpen us. Shave us. Mold us, Father, each day. And help continue to reveal the things, Lord, in our lives that, Lord, we can be thankful for. And that is truly be thankful for you on how good you continue to be. Bless us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week.